1 Corinthians chapter number 10, being verse number 13 to start with right here. Title of the message tonight, We Are Not Alone. We are not alone. Say amen when you get there.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter number verse number 10, chapter number 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day and for your many blessings. We pray that you just guide us and help us be with all the prayer requests, Lord, that's going up tonight. For all those that we've heard prayer requests for that are sick of different things, Lord, we pray you'd reach your mighty touching hand, healing hand down and touch them. Take them, bring them off that bed of affliction. Lord, help them feel better. Help those that are feeling spiritually down to feel better, Lord. We pray for all the requests that's going up tonight, spoken and unspoken, Lord. We pray now that you'd hide us behind the cross. Give us the message, Lord, we stand in need of. Let us get out in this lost and dying world and do something with it. In Jesus' name we pray, let us all be a lighthouse pointing unto you. Amen. We're not alone. Maybe the title's not exactly right, but I feel like it's the way to go into this message, kind of. A lot of us have talked about different things that have maybe been a temptation to it or to us as individuals, and sometimes we get down and out, thinking we're the only ones going through anything, or nobody's got it as bad off as we do. Sometimes we get pooched to mouth, as we like to call it around here, and feeling sorry for ourselves and things of that nature. But I think it's good to think about what the Bible says about it. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the first part of verse number 13 says, There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. You're not the only one that's going through this that's ever gone through it. Don't matter how new it is. Look at this, just an example of what we're going through right now. There's no one person that's going to be able to say, well, you know, I had to go through COVID-19 in 2020 all by myself. You can't say that. Not only is God with you, but so is everybody else. I mean, you know, this is something that has gained worldwide attention and exposure. Why do we sometimes feel like we're going through anything alone? God's with us through everything, and somebody else is going through the exact same thing. Even when there's rare diseases that come up, stuff you've never heard the name of, you might be the first one to get it, but you ain't the last one to get it. You know what I'm saying? Once they figure out what it is, once they put a name to it, there might be somebody else that's had it longer than you had. You just don't know. So what I'm trying to get you to see here is, as bad as it may seem to you at times, and I'm not saying what you're going through is not bad, not saying what you're going through doesn't cause you worry, even though we shouldn't worry. It's just that God said in His Word there's nothing that you're going through that's not common unto man. But I like this next part. It says, but God. We need to start paying attention to that little three-letter word. But then God is faithful. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Now, a lot of people will say God won't tempt you more than what you can handle. But if you look at that, it says, above that ye are able. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. You know, sometimes we don't always see that way of escape. We don't understand what it means to be able to bear it. A lot of times temptation will come. And maybe I'm speaking for myself here. Y'all say amen if this is how it gets y'all too.
Amen.
the temptation will show up, and instead of getting past it, instead of asking God to help us get past it, instead of doing something that's right there in front of us that we can do to escape this temptation, we dwell on it. We dwell on it. Now, I'm not picking on my father-in-law, but now he gets mad when he watches the news. I do too. Okay. He's got the remote in his hand with the off button. That off button's bigger than anything else. The way of escape is there, but we don't hit the off button. Yeah, but we don't. We sit there and watch it. Commercial break will come on, and you realize the news is off. Commercial break is on. There's your way of escape. You can change the channel. You can get up and leave. You can turn it off. But what do? Sit there and wait for it to come back on so we can get mad. But we're not alone. Just like Wayne found out, it makes a lot of other people mad too. But, you know, there's times I'm sure Wayne thinks he's the only one that gets mad at the news. There's times we think, well, I'm the only one that has trouble paying my bills. I'm the only one that has this problem, that problem. You know, we talk about temptation as if it's just for us. We learn in the Bible, you look up that word tempted, you'll see where Jesus Christ was tempted. Tempted, 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 tempted. Not only by the devil. It says the Pharisees tempted him, or the scribes tempted him, or a person come up, ask him a question that was tempting him, trying to get him to answer or get mad or do something. Even Christ was tempted. But without sin, it says, for Christ. But no matter what it is we're going through, what the temptation, whether it be the daily news, falling out your son-in-law's back porch and arguing about going to the doctor over it, I ain't got but one father-in-law, John. But, you know, or, I mean, you know, we think of it in more serious matters. When the doctor tells you you've got a disease, or tells you that there's something wrong, or tells you that they want to run more tests or everything else, we immediately forget anybody else, you know. We are, and I know we're not doing that on purpose, okay? We're in these fleshly bodies, and it's a temptation, it's a thing. It's what happens to us is we forget about God. I'm going to tell you a good example of this. The other morning, this past week, I noticed it felt like something was stuck in the roof of my mouth. And the more time went by, the bigger it got. Okay? And if you'd have asked me, I'd have told you it was as big as this microphone hanging down from the roof of my mouth. It was just aggravating the daylights out of me. Every time I done anything, my tongue was hitting it. I thought it was humongous. I said, I can't deal with it no more. I'm going to go see if my dentist can find it and do anything with it. So we go in there. I go in there, and I sit down, and I tell them what the problem is. I said, well, put your tongue on it. We'll see if we can find it. So I showed her where it was at. She said, yeah, I see it. And I'm thinking to myself, as big as I think it is, it shouldn't have been no problem. Right? So she gets this itty little bitty pair of tweezers, and she goes in there, and she's got a hold of it. I can feel her tugging on it. So she snaps loose, you know. And she said, see if that's it. And I stuck my tongue up there. I said, yeah, I think that's it. She said, give me your finger. She stuck it on the end of my finger. Man, I could barely see this little dot on the end of my finger. It's like smaller than a pinhead. It's a piece of bone. Probably from when I had my wisdom tooth pulled when I was 18 years old that worked its way out. But here's what I'm wanting you to see. I thought it was as big as the end of that microphone. It was smaller than a pinhead. And that thing was driving me nuts. Yeah, yeah. nuts. I couldn't take it no more. I went to the demon. And that was me over that one thing. Now, Wayne brought up something a while ago. I thought about that when he said it a while ago, about this hurricane. We're sitting here fretting about this hurricane. Rightfully so. Hurricanes are dangerous. You understand that? But listen, have we forgot we serve a God that holds all the oceans in His hands? That hurricane ain't no bigger than that speck of bone in God's hand. It's nothing. Is it going to cause problems? We don't know. We don't know. Storms happen, things happen, different things happen. But how many storms have we come through today? How many, not just, I don't mean just weather storms. How many things in your life have we come through that's been nothing to God? It's just a speck. I mean, less than a speck of sand in God's hand. You stand on any ocean y'all seen. I've been out in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico. I've been so far out in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico, you can't see land nowhere. And looked like a car hood floating in the water, and it was a turtle. Okay, and that turtle looked like it was half as big as the boat I was in. Okay. Now that's big. No, we was in a big old boat. But this turtle was huge. But that's just in the Gulf of Mexico. You look at the Gulf of Mexico on a map. It ain't nothing compared to the Atlantic Ocean. It ain't nothing compared to the Pacific Ocean. It ain't, you know, and think of all the oceans you don't even know the name of. You know what I'm saying? Go looking at a map or a globe and look at all these bodies of waters. And it says God can hold that in the palm of one hand. One hand. And we think we're alone. We think we're alone in our troubles. We think we're alone in our struggles. We think we're alone in our daily life. We think we're alone in our temptations. Let's look in the book of Job. Talk about temptations here a little bit. You can't help but turn to the book of Job. Job 1. We're going to start reading in Job chapter 1, verse number 1. Verse number 1 says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil." First of all, can God write that about us? Can God have somebody write that about us? It says, "And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their house, and every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of the feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, 'It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.' Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto the Satan, 'Whence comest thou?' And then Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down on it.' And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?'" There again, many times when we talk about Job, we forget that God mentioned Job to Satan and what God said about Job. It said, "Then Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance, and is increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Old Satan said, look, said you put your hedge of protection around him, and he's prospered. Now think about what Satan said to him right here. Satan said, put forth thine hand, telling the Lord. Lord, you put forth your hand and touch everything he's got, and he'll curse thee to thy face. In verse 12 it says, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Said, and there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing, and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven, and hath burned up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them. I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. All of it, all at one time. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head, fell down upon the ground and worshipped. And said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return tither. The Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away, hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. We don't know why certain people have to go through certain things. Good people go through bad things. Bad people go through good things. Bad people go through bad things. All I can tell you is that first verse we read, the Bible says it's common unto man. Men, women. It's common unto us humans. Good, bad, or indifferent. But all this hit the Lord. And I want you to think about something. Until I was studying over this just a little bit and thinking about this, and I'm not trying to change anything to anybody else's talk, or because I don't disagree with what the preacher says about Job's wife. You know, at one point, Job's wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? Because, and I agree with the preacher, she saw how bad he was, what kind of shape he was in. She didn't want to see him suffer. I agree with that statement. But I got to thinking about something. God said, told Satan you got control of everything but Job's life. The old devil could have planted that seed in the wife's head and said, look, you know, he's suffering. Look how bad he's suffering. Wouldn't he be better off dead? So God didn't let him die. Not saying that the wives is evil. I'm not saying that. I'm saying when we're at our lowest point, when we're going through something, and we're maybe thinking we're going to get a word of encouragement from somebody, and we don't get it, or they say something that rubs us the wrong way, you know, we might get mad or whatever else, but it just might be the circumstance we're in. It might be the old devil turning those words around in our ears to kick us while we're down. But we're not alone. We're not alone. Over and over and over again, God said in His Word He'd not leave us, He'd not forsake us. We're not alone. We've said it. I've said it. If you feel like you're far away from God, I can guarantee you this much, God didn't move. So, we're not alone. I have one more verse wrote down that we're going to share here in just a minute, and it's in 2 Chronicles. But to share about not feeling alone, I guess the loneliest I've ever felt was a shorter period of time, about to almost 2 hours, when I was laying pinned under that truck. Those first couple minutes, things were still moving, but it was like it was in slow motion. I wasn't hurting yet, but I wasn't hearing nothing either, you know. There wasn't no sounds. And that time between knowing what was going on and somebody actually, a face appearing in front of my face to see if I was alive or not, felt like an eternity. So that happened. That was my start of a 6-month journey. Maybe a little longer than 6 months. So that 6 months felt terrible. Well, I look back on it now, and I can say, thank God it was only 6 months. Some people's journey through difficulties lasts a lifetime. But we're still never alone. If you look at Job here, and just look at it from one aspect, he had all those kids, and it sounds like all those children were grown. 10 kids that were grown. You know, to have 10 kids that were grown takes more than 20 years. Probably take more than 30 years. So we're talking 40, 50 years. Just the way my brain works, at least 40. Okay, if you got 10 kids and the oldest one's 40, well, let's say the oldest one's 30. The youngest one could be 20 if you had one a year. So 30 years to get to where he was at. And in one day, everything gone. Everything gone. But that story doesn't end there. That story about Job does not end there. Did we not learn later on that he was blessed again? Even more so than he was in the beginning? We may not see that down here. We may not see that twofold blessing down here. But we're guaranteed far many more fold blessing than that if we're saved. Amen. You're going to spend eternity in heaven. Amen. Now, how many more times greater is heaven going to be than what we're going through here? I heard a statement made by one of the preachers on the radio, and I'm not sure which one it was. But now I want you to think about this. If you're truly saved, and here in this church or listening on Facebook, listening on the radios in the car, if you're truly saved, this is the closest to hell you're ever going to be. If you're lost, this world is the closest to heaven you're ever going to be. That's a profound statement, folks. The last verse to take a look at is 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. Verse number 14. Let's look at this verse and see. Understand the two meanings that I want us to bring out of this verse is to reinforce that we're not alone. And the second thing is to ensure we have communication with God, what we must do. First of all, the first three words can ensure us that we're not alone. It says, if my people. It don't say if somebody. It says, if my people. God's calling us His. And people point out, well, this is in the Old Testament. You know, and I'll point out to you that we're called Christians because we follow Christ. If my people, which are called by my name, now we got a condition, shall humble themselves, and then we got an instruction, and pray, but we have further instruction, and seek my face, and further instruction, and turn from their wicked ways. Now, that part gets left out a lot. You see, we don't want to turn from our wicked ways. We don't want to give up the things that feel good in this flesh. But it's a necessity for communication with Christ. But after those things are met, it says, then will I hear from heaven. We've talked about that before. We've had several different parts of messages that concern how do we communicate with God and how do we hear from God. We talked about a little bit this past Sunday the things we put in the way of our communication with God. But to get that out of the way, we follow these steps. First, humble yourself, pray, seek God, and turn from the wicked ways. You see, if we humble ourselves and pray, God will show us what's in the way. Then we can turn from it. We can get that out of the way. Then, it says, will I hear from heaven? And it says, and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You know, sometimes God says yes. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says not now. Just because your prayers, you haven't got an answer, doesn't mean He doesn't hear you. But every time we pray, God don't hear us if we don't meet His conditions. If we're praying, but there's gross sin in our life, even though nobody else may know it, God hasn't heard our prayer. If you're lost and you're praying and trying to make a deal with God and all these different things that happen, God don't hear you until you pray that prayer of repentance. That person that's sitting on that church pew, been there for 50 years and has rejected God for 50 years, the prayers ain't making it out of the pew. God wants to be there for each and every one of us. God wants to be there for everyone. God does not reject anyone. We, as individuals, choose to reject God. And that means Christians can do it too. You could get saved at a very early age. You can defy God from then on and reject God. You'll pay the price. If you truly got saved, that price won't be a life in hell. But it may be a life that you could have had a whole lot better. But folks, we're never, ever, ever alone. We may feel it sometimes. We may not be convinced of it sometimes. But God's always with us. Look at, and continue there and look in verse number 15. It says, now mine eyes shall be open, mine ears attendant unto the prayer that is made in this place. When you get the stuff out of the way and you start praying, it don't take God by surprise. He don't have to wonder who it is. He don't have to look and see if you're in His caller ID so He know who's talking to Him. God knows each and every one of us. That's my son, or that's my daughter. That's my son, John. That's my son, Wayne. That's my daughter, Jana. That's my daughter, Sissy. He knows. He knows. My final thought is, my final thing to say, are we choosing to be alone? Are we choosing to be alone?